Misunderstandings that cause us pain.
Is clarified by truth to bring love again. Clarified by truth to bring love again.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
The fine prophet of Allah محمد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has stated Whoever recites salat upon me one time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 10 mercies upon him And whoever recites Salat upon me 10 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 100 blessings upon him. And whoever recites Salat upon me 100 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write between both of his eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and the hellfire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep him with the martyrs on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers of the channel, welcome back to our series Misunderstandings. In the previous episode, we were discussing how to build an environment at home where there is this understanding between the father and the mother and the children. And this harmony, how do we build that? We were talking about that and we discussed one of the scenarios. Before we go back to the second part of the scenario, we have our beautiful guest with us again. Alhamdulillah, Abdul Hanan Bhai. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Abdul Hanan Bhai?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. But the second part of that scenario, inshallah, we'll cover first. And that was that we were discussing that the child, he's asking for his dad for money and his dad is not giving him money. And then he goes out and does odd jobs and his dad says, no, don't do work and just focus on your studies. And now he's upset, the son is frustrated, he's saying that you don't let me work and you don't give me any money. What do you expect me to do? How can I eat with my friends? How can I go out and get nice shoes and get a nice coat? What should I do? So how does the son, should he react in that way, and should the father stop him from doing those odd jobs?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mahad Bhai, first of all, it's one should understand his position. And he should also understand the position of those around him. It's important, if you don't understand your position, the position of people around you, you will fall into misunderstandings and all sorts of dispute and everything. So if the father is saying you can't work, or you should concentrate on your studies, then obviously one should understand this, that if, when someone is studying, it's and he starts to work, he is going to fall behind on his studies. His mind is set elsewhere. So, you try to achieve 10 goals in one time. I won't say it's impossible, but you will make things harder for yourself.
Very difficult.
Right? When you are doing one thing, concentrate on your heart. Right? Whereas related to going out and doing all the other things or missing out, there are times that you have to miss out on things just to build your future. And when a father is saying or a mother is saying to the child that concentrate on your studies, and they know that this is the important time for you now. This time of studies is very important, and they want you to be successful in this. Otherwise, what will happen is, Mahad Bhai, as a student and as you go on through this stage of studies, that when you're studying, and if you don't put your full mind and effort onto it, what happens? You lose out in a year. You don't pass your exams, then you have to redo the whole year again. So you're actually wasting a whole year of your life. Here you're thinking about enjoyments for a weekend or one day. There your whole year's enjoyment will go out of the window. Right? So try to understand this. That when your father is telling you or your mother is telling you that concentrate on your studies, they know there's a reason behind it. Try to understand what the reason is. And same time, understanding that why your father can't, he's not providing you with anything, or your mother is not providing, because they might not have the wealth, or they might not have that much funds or to give to you. So and you want to work and you want to study. So sometimes it's all about give and take. Sometimes we don't understand this about give and take. Right? You know, to gain one thing, you have to give away something else. Right? And it's always the same that you want to achieve something. You know, those who study, many of their lives are gone into studying. Right? If someone wanted to become a doctor or any professional field of work, he spends years of his time studying. And what happens in them years of his time? He's away from his family, or he doesn't able to give that much time home, and all these things fall into place. So it's all about give and take here. Right? And sometimes you have to sacrifice that, maybe that one weekend out or one day out where you can't afford it or you can't spend on it. And, you know, try to concentrate what your parents are saying. And even if someone wishes to work, right, I think the way to convince your parents here would be if you worked and you gave something to them, right, maybe they'll probably allow you here to also work. Right? Because they will see that my son is helping me, my daughter is helping me. So they might be happy with you working. Okay. Even then, right? Here, what we try to do is, if we want to earn just for ourselves, but think about it, your parents, when they were earning, who were they earning for? For you.
For you.
They were earning for their children. So when they were earning for their children, right? And today when we are earning, it's a whole different scenario now. We are earning, it's my money, and it's not your money in the sense that whatever you earn, it belongs to your parent. Now you're not thinking about, I earned it. Think about it, what about when your parents were earning? Right? They were earning and they were giving to you. They were spending on you day, night. I normally say to people, if I was to say your parents have spent millions on you, I wouldn't be wrong. Now, what is £1 million? It's a lot of money. All right? $1 million, whatever. You think it's a lot of money. But I say that they, you know, from the time you were born, till you grew up, and even now your parents are still spending on you. Your parents are still gifting you. You know, you asked me about regarding my coat. This was a gift from my father. It was a gift from my father. My father gifted it to me, and you know, made me happy. Even that my father is a very aged, but him giving me a gift at this age, SubhanAllah, it shows that your parents will always continue to do things for you, even to the last moments of their lives, even at age, you know. I remember when I bought a house and I was decorating, and I was just looking to buy some doors, something to get by. My father gave me money at the time, and I remember then I say this to many people. My father gave me money, he said, son, you're spending this much on your house, have some nice doors on your house. So, you know, that time it put me to tears. I look at my father at this age, he's retired, and he's, you know, and even then he's still thinking about his children. He's still thinking, you know, even at that age he's saying, you know, son, here's some money. He's giving me money at that age where we should be, whereas I felt a shame in some sense that I should be giving my father at that time. But my father is giving me money at that time. You know, sometimes you think, especially when those children who get married, they move into their own homes and their own property, and they think, look, I don't have nothing to give to my father, I can't pay my own bills. But I tell you, the day you will give money to your parents, Allah will make means of your bills being fulfilled, right? And that's a reality. Sometimes we think that, it's not been, but even then when we are doing this, we're still enjoying ourselves, we're still spending money on our own children and our own family and our own things, but why do we become so tight when thinking of our parents, I don't have money, I'm not making enough to give to my parents? This thinking should be removed from our minds. Whatever you are, it is your parents. Right? Alhamdulillah, whatever you have been brought up and to this stage where you're standing today, you're earning your money. Even maybe that job which you got, you don't know whose hands were raised behind that. Your mother could have been raising her hands and saying, Ya Allah, grant my son this job.
And it, because of that
dua, it's a reality. It's the supplication of our parents that today we are protected from a lot of things. A lot of things are supposed to happen, but we get protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because the supplications of our parents have made.
You know, I was traveling in a Muslim country, and there's something common over there that they do, and it's that, you know, at the you usually find this on the next vehicle at the back, they will have like a saying or something, And ye mere maa baap ki duaein hain.
These are
the supplications of my mom and dad.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Basically, they put a title onto the car saying that this car is the du'as of my parents. Or this job if he's a taxi driver.
And you know, sometimes I saw a very, you know, look, not even a very expensive car.
Mm.
And they would have that.
Subhanallah.
And that is a form of satisfaction. That one, that is shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah, you granted me this. But you know this that I have, whatever I have, even this, and this is the result of the du'as of my parents.
Subhanallah. You know, I think we should have these posts on our homes, man. If those of us who have homes and properties today, right, it's because our parents have made it easy for us. Right? Our parents have grown up, you know, covered those hard times for us, and today we are standing on our feet. Right? You know, I remember there was a brother, the whole family, you know, the grandfather had bought the children home, the grandchildren home. Right? So even to the grandchildren, the father, he was a very pious man as well. He's a very pious man. He bought his even grandchildren properties, so that they don't have to suffer or they don't have to go through hard times. Because he was visualizing the coming times of them in properties price shoot up and everything. And you know, it's a lot of the times you get people buying properties. Where do they get the deposit from? A lot of the times the parents are giving them the money. A lot of the times parents are giving them the money, yeah, but son, take this, put this down as a deposit for the house. So you can now have your own properties.
But sometimes, you know, as we go back to the scenario, that's not the case. Sometimes you'd find that, you know, even Charlie, like I know someone who's a bit older now, and he was complaining, you know, I remember my dad hasn't given me anything, and he was an old man and he has children himself, and he was complaining that my dad didn't give me anything, and you know what? His son is also complaining that my dad doesn't give me anything.
Allah, you know, when the day he will give to his father, his son will give to him. The day you stop complaining about his father, his son will stop complaining about it. It's that saying, anyway, what goes around comes around. And you know, you can never fulfill the rights of your parents.
Allah.
And this is a misunderstanding, a great misunderstanding, that we think that we have fulfilled the rights of our parents. Never. You cannot fulfill the rights of your parents, because what they did and what they went through, the pain they went through. So stop thinking like this, that you fulfill the rights of your parents.
You know, we always hear, you know, okay, fine, you know, parents have rights, and I can't fulfill the rights of my parents and whatnot.
And then on the other side, you get people complaining. I remember there was someone told me that someone's father passed away, and this young lad was complaining. My father only left me £50,000. My father only left me £50,000. The son is complaining that £50,000 was only left for me. For him, £50,000 is only, it's a little amount, right? But think about it, that £50,000 could have been maybe half of his father's life's earnings. And he's thinking £50,000. Even if £50,000 wasn't a lot of money, it was little, still, right? A person should never even utter these words that my father only left me this much.
It does not befit a Muslim.
Right? It doesn't befit a Muslim, no, without doubt. So this thinking, how it's been created, how it's come into our minds, you know, as a Muslim, we should not have this in our mind. Being a Muslim, we should be honoring our parents, respecting them, showing them love, even if they didn't look after us, even if they didn't do the right upbringing. Islam, what has Islam told us about the rights of parents, right? The status of parents, right? Even if they didn't give us anything, still it is a duty as a Muslim to serve them. And that duty we have to fulfill. There is no way out of it. There is no way out of fulfilling that duty. We need to fulfill that duty to parents. So to think like this, it's totally wrong. And you know, in regards to the scenario we mentioned, that the child is saying that
he wants to work. His father says, "Don't work. You focus on your studies."
He doesn't give me anything.
Yeah.
So regarding that,
what scenario, have you given me anyway?
Yeah. Regarding that scenario, when the child says, "What have you given me anyway?"
Yeah.
This is a wrong sentence, a wrong word, no wrong. And it's nothing which you can use about your parents. Your parents have given you a lot. Maybe you don't see it. And there are many examples. If I tell you, when you were a child and the bed became wet because of you, What did your mother do or your father do? He picked you up from that wet place and put you on a dry place, right? And maybe slept on the wet place themselves, so that you don't feel the wetness, you don't cry. And, you know, we need to understand that maybe we did not see this. We did not see this.
Do you think, because now we live in the modern time, and now we've got phones, do you think parents should record this sort of stuff? And then tomorrow when the children grow, you know, look, this was you.
I don't know.
Do you think that would be suitable?
I think they are, you know, like you say, modern times, there are many clips and videos, alhamdulillah, through Dawud Islami as well. You'll find that lessons like this have been, as a storyline has been made. And, you know, if you're watching social media, the thing is, we spend a lot of time wasting watching all sorts of rubbish on social media. We don't go on to something like this where a lesson is learned, right? In these lessons, they're in books, Mahat Bhai. If you go start reading books, you will find many stories of this, that how the parents, what they did for their children. You will find books are filled with stories like this, events like this, and how the upbringing was done, the suffering the parents went through. You don't have to look far. Just go and sit with your grandparents one day. Right? Go and sit with your grandparents one day, ask them what they went through through life. They will tell you. Right, they will tell you their struggles. Right, sit with your parents. They will tell you their struggles. Right, they will know. You know, what they went through just for us. Right, you know, we don't see it, and we think, what have they given us? You know, they've given us so much that today we are living in a house without paying rent. It's like being in a hotel. Right, this is that's why I say to the children today, you are living like if you're living in a hotel. That your mother makes you food, your father makes you food, your parents are making you food, buying you clothes, doing this, ironing your clothes. Everything is being done and served in front of you. And then you turn around and you say, what have they done for us? Or they have never done anything for us. Totally, we should be really, I would say we should do tawbah over this. We should repent over this, that why we said such a sentence.
So what's the solution? This young man, he wants money and he wants to, you know, because he's saying, look, you know, and I'll give you an example. Some guys, they want to focus on their studies, but they need some sort of enjoyment to have that time to mentally relax, and then they will come back and they will study properly. Instead of, you know, just focusing, and some people can just focus on studies and stay at home. Some people simply can't. They want to go out, they want to chill with their friends, you know, just have a little laugh or eat something, and then come back and then, you know, focus on what they were doing.
I think rather than complaining, one should be able to convince his parents. One should be able to explain to them. The problem is that we can't explain to them. We can't convince them. We can't, you know. Or maybe if you, you know, just do that much which you can earn a sufficient amount to cover your own pockets or to your own.
But he's not letting him work as well, isn't it?
But that's what I mean. It's that communication. You're not there. Maybe if you made your parents understand, maybe they will understand. Maybe they will allow you to work. And maybe they'll give you a bit of time to be able to earn, right? So these things can be done, but if there's no communication and you still complain, oh, you haven't made an effort to speak to them, sit down, rather, you know, you made your own decision, right? And when this is a big misunderstanding amongst families, is when everyone starts to make their own decision.
Own decisions.
Right? We never discuss, we never have mashuras. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he's given us this lesson to us, that even the Prophet ﷺ would discuss amongst the Sahaba, how shall we do this? Ghazwa-e Khandaq, when the battle of trench, when the trench was being dug, this idea of the building a trench around Madinatul Manawwara, where did this come from? This came from the mashra of the Sahaba. And the Prophet ﷺ asked the Sahaba, Ikram Ali Muridwan, shall we go out and fight or shall we remain in Madinatul Manawwara and protect ourselves? And then the Sahaba, there were certain Sahaba, Sayyidina Sulaiman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, they gave this mashra that we should dig up a trench around Madinatul Munawwara and make a burial for our safety and protection. That this, look, do you not think that the Prophet ﷺ was aware of this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Prophet ﷺ with the knowledge of the unseen. He knew what will happen till the end of time, till those people who are going to Jannah, those people who are going to Jahannam, everything he was aware of. Allah gave the Prophet ﷺ all this knowledge. He was granted this knowledge. When he is shahid, he will be a witness for us on the day of judgment. So he the Prophet would Subhanallah. Not know this. This was for our tarbiyah. This was for our education, that the Prophet showed that having a mashra, having a discussion or advice, seeking advice from others, this is from the sunnah of Rasulullah.
You know, the Prophet says, I see that which you don't see, and I hear that which you don't hear. Yet he is, you know, he is doing consultation. Allah is commanding him to do consultation. Subhanallah, you know, he's aqal, and he's a you know, greatest prophet of Allah. His aqal is kamil, he's complete, his intellect. Yet he's still consulting.
So this should be a lesson for us, that, you know, communicate with each other, ask each other, share things, you do a discussion. You know, alhamdulillah, if we were to do it in this way, you will find a result. You will find that you will come upon an easy agreement. You haven't tried it. If you haven't tried it, then why are you complaining? This, again, the whole, we're talking about misunderstandings. This is where the misunderstandings are being built. Misunderstandings are being built on the fact that there's no communication, sitting, there's no mashras, there's no seeking advice, and the advice of the elders is always unique, right? Because think about it, what you want to do today, they've seen this, they've gone through this, they've spent years of their lives going through things like this. And we think that we know better. It's not we don't know better. They will know, they will advise us in a good way. And which parents tell me that advise their children in the wrong way? Every parent, their advice is for the betterment of us, right? So the advice of the parents is always for the betterment of the children. Maybe they don't realize it today, but there'll come a day when the child will realize that what my father advised me maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it is a reality. When he will have his own children and he's sitting in front of them, and he'll be thinking of these things. He'll be pondering over this, that, oh, my father gave me this advice. I tell you.
And that's a point I understand. But, you know, you said convince the father. Should it not also be the case that the father tries to convince his child as well? In the sense that, you know, yes, there is a form of respect that the child should have for his father, and he is someone he should look up to. And it shouldn't be the case that, you know, the father is trying to convince the child. The child should listen to his father. But in the times we are living in, practically speaking, if the father, he doesn't communicate with the child the reason why he's stopping him, or, you know, etc., it's very likely that the child would, you know, become very distant very quickly. So do you think that the father should also contribute to this communication and removing that gap between the father and the child?
It's not just the father and the child, it's also sometimes the mother plays that role, or whoever, sometimes it could be the daughter, there could be the son. So everyone is playing that role as a guardian, you can be playing this role. But the point is here is, you know, it should be from the father as well. As the elders, they should think more in this matter, that how can I try to speak to my child more in a better way? How can I convince him in a better way? There's one thing just came to my mind regarding the child, how to convince the parents. You know, if you look at children, when they were young, they used to convince their father to get them sweets, so their mother to get them sweets. Right? As children, they were always able to convince them so easily. They were very good at it. Right? But what was their way? No, I want this, please. You know, there was a humbleness in the way, in the method. Now, is it the same humbleness there? It's not that. This is why you don't get the response in the way. If you were to hug your father, please, dad. If you hug your mother, please, mom.
Today, it's like, you know,
it's hukum.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you go there not to convince, but to get your answer. And if you don't get your answer, then I'm going to do what I'm going to do anyway. Either accept it, and I'll be happy with you. And if you don't accept it, I'm going to be upset with you.
Exactly. This, I said the attitude has changed in this way. And this issue, you know, think about it, how you did it then, how you're doing it now. Then they listen to you, now they don't listen to you. Why? Right? then you showed them love. You would cling on to them. You would show them affection. You know, there was a double side connection, wasn't it? Now it's just like, no, I need to do this. Okay. Or I need to go. Like, it's more of an order. There's no sign that if that child, I tell you, did that same thing now in the same loving manner, do you think any parents will say no? They probably won't. They probably agree with you. Okay, sir. But the behavior is changed. Our attitude is changed. Why? We've grown up and we think that we know it all. Or we've grown up thinking that I know better. No, it's not me. Right? So we need to change our behavior. We need to change our attitude towards our parents. And we need to still greet them in the same way, show them the same love, same affection. You know, our Sheikh Tariqa Tamil Sunnat, Hazrat Abu Ghulam Muhammad Ghiyas Qadri Rahmat Barakatum Al Aliyah, he gives us an example. He says, you know, like, if you want to travel in the way of Allah and the kafilas of Dawat Islam, and your parents don't allow you, first of all, they say a very beautiful thing here regarding the Sharia, about giving us the understandings. If, for an example, and this is the things of deen now. This is a worry also for the youth to understand this. This is the matters of deen. If your parents stop you from going to an ijtima, a gathering, Islamic gathering, and you should listen to them. Why? Because going to the gathering is mustahab, or there might be other ways of learning or seeking knowledge, whereas listening to your parents is for the... So, do you know, like, if you're going to, like, a milad ijtima or whole night you want to spend there, your father says no. You're always stopping me from this. No, should understand here, this hukum of your father here or your mother here is fardha. That is mustahab, that is rewardable action, without doubt. It's a means of reward, but this, it's a compulsory action here. So we should leave that over and adopt the most compulsory action here. So this is the tarbiyat Amil-e-Sunnat Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah is given. So Amil-e-Sunnat says that, you know, if you want to travel in the way of Allah and a kafila for 3 days in the path of Allah, like Dawat Islami has. He has the brothers, they travel to different areas, different cities, different countries at times in the path of Allah, where they go and learn the deen of Islam.
Now this you're staying
in the masjid, in the household. This is going seeking the knowledge, spreading the deen. So you ask your parents for permission. The parents say, no, you can't go. What should you do here? Amil-e-Sunnat says that make dua for me. Allah show you Medina. Allah take you to Hajj this year. Allah, you know, supplicate in front of them, you know, Allah take you to Medina. I tell you, these look at the beautiful method our Shaykh is teaching us, how to convince your parents. Right? When you will do it in this way, I'm sure they will listen. And I'm sure they will adopt, inshallah.
The character
is approach. Right? Inshallah.
I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He enable us to act upon what has been said. We'll see you in our next episode of Misunderstanding, insha'Allah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Misunderstandings that cause us pain. Misunderstandings that cause us pain. Clarified by truth to bring love again. Clarified by truth to bring love again.